On a Monday, you're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is the season for lookbacks and reflections, and the same goes for politics. WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is here to catch us up on what lawmakers are working on heading into the holidays. Revamped Foxconn deal, the future of mental health funding, purging voter rolls. It is time to reflect and look back with you at 800-642-1234. How would you negotiate with Foxconn at this point? What were state lawmakers' greatest accomplishments this year? Where did you see bipartisan spirit? Where did you see the breakdown, the greatest division? And what do you hope for in state politics in 2020? Join in 800-642-1234. Tweet us WPR Mornings. And WPR's Sean Johnson is here. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Kate.
So before we get to our state capitol, let's spend a moment on Capitol Hill and what you saw with the House's impeachment inquiry. What stood out to you in the response from Wisconsin House members?
Yeah, just watching the debate on C-SPAN, I think what stands out is how very, you know, far apart Republicans and Democrats are on this issue. When you listen to the debate, there's not like a gray area where they kind of come together over the charges of impeachment. So just the partisanship of the debate. And if also, I mean, if you listen to the debate at all on impeachment, these lawmakers are given like sometimes 30 seconds or a minute and a half to make their point. And so you would hear really kind of the same points over and over and over again, because for each of these lawmakers, sure, this point's been made before, but this is their chance to get up and make a speech on, you know, this historic vote. And so you heard some of the same points from Democrats and Republicans kind of on a loop for, you know, hours on end.
Well, the second longest serving member of the House, Jim Sensenbrenner, had an opinion piece in The New York Times on Friday about why he voted against impeachment. And he drew a bunch of contrasts to 21 years ago when he had cast his votes to impeach President Clinton. Here he is on the House floor last week.
This is about a perfect storm, months of activity directly ordered by the president to his senior cabinet and political appointees, an orchestrated plan demanding a foreign power interfere in our democracy.
Okay, so that I'm not sure if that is...
That is Mark Pocan.
Yeah, that's Mark Pocan there. I'm so sorry about that. But going back to Representative Sensenbrenner, what did he see in this impeachment proceeding in a very different light?
So this is the point that he made that I think was one of the major refrains of the day for Republicans. He said that this is a quote from his speech. At no time is there any evidence that indicates that Donald J. Trump violated any criminal statute of the United States. So that was his point, was that what we were talking about here with these articles of impeachment against President Trump are not actual crime. So, you know, obstruction of Congress, Representative Sensenbrenner is saying that is not a criminal statute. You know, abuse of power, not a criminal statute. Whereas when you go back to the Clinton impeachment, they had articles of impeachment accusing Clinton of perjury and of tampering with witnesses. So that's the distinction that Representative Sensenbrenner is drawing there in his remarks. He was one of our delegation who's been there for both of them.
Talking with Sean Johnson, WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief, how do you think the state should handle Foxconn's subsidies? Have you considered working for Foxconn? What options do you see? And do you think there is a tech workforce at the ready in southeastern Wisconsin? Join in 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Sean, let's turn to our capital now. Governor Evers said Thursday that he thinks the $3 billion incentive package with Foxconn will be renegotiated. You sat down with the governor for a year-end conversation, and here's one moment.
All the terms of that contract are based upon something that's not happening. And it's not rational thinking, and I think they agreed with me at that point in time that we need to change what it says, because what it says is not happening. And so let's do it. I mean, it's not rocket science.
What is the governor saying there in terms of the status of Foxconn in Wisconsin?
So a lot of the latest discussion over Foxconn boils down to a disagreement between the state and Foxconn over whether Foxconn is in violation of its original contract, which it reached with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation under the leadership of, former Governor Scott Walker under a Republican legislature. And what it boils down to is that original contract calls for Foxconn to build Generation 10.5 LCD plant. So this is a term that I had never heard of until, a year or so ago, just because of covering Foxconn. But when you're talking Gen 10.5, you're talking about giant TV screens, basically the largest, most technologically advanced screens. And this is what Foxconn said it was going to build. So when you heard this, the pitch for Foxconn originally, that it was going to be a plant that was the size of 11 Lambeau Fields and, build the biggest screens in the world, that's what they're talking about. They are definitely not going to build Generation 10.5 screens in Wisconsin because they can't get glass there for screens that big. It's just not going to happen. And so Foxconn's plans are changing. They are different than what's in that contract. So what the Evers administration is saying is we need to renegotiate if you want to get these tax credits for jobs created in Wisconsin, because right now you are in violation.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says not much change is needed to the Foxconn contract, and he says the Evers administration shouldn't be getting caught up in, whether it's Gen 10 or Gen 6. Here's what he told WPR.
So I hope they weren't attempting to negotiate a different contract by using some kind of a loophole as to what product they're making, because we shouldn't care. So I'm going to take him at his word that, look, this is just a minor squabble. You know, if we have to do a technical amendment that says, look, they can make anything at the plant, we don't care what they make, that's no big deal to me. But if they want to renegotiate the entire deal to try to drive a wedge between the state and Foxconn, that would certainly be unfortunate. But I don't think that's their goal.
So is Speaker Voss's sentiment toward Foxconn a more hands-off approach? Is that widely shared among lawmakers?
It's very hands-off. And I mean, I can tell you in a separate interview, Senator Scott Fitzgerald said largely the same things. He doesn't care what they build, basically. I would say that if the leaders of the Assembly and the Senate are indicative of where their majority caucuses are at, then, yeah, that's kind of the point of view. The counter to that is that the Foxconn deal was reached under very specific terms, that this was pitched as kind of a revolutionary, groundbreaking industry, and that's why Foxconn was going to get all of this money. And so that's why it's kind of specific in the contract. But Foxconn is, we should mention, building a large plant in Wisconsin, about 1 million square feet, not the 22 million that was originally envisioned. So they are they do have a presence here.
There is a footprint.
Jobs. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
It's just a lot different than was pitched.
Last week we heard that they're having trouble recruiting employees to come to Wisconsin. What do you make of that?
Yeah, this was something that they mentioned Foxconn did in a letter to the state. There's been kind of a back and forth of letters between Foxconn and the state, either through the Evers administration or the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And it was kind of a line in that letter where they said, these economic trends have made it hard for us to hit these goals. You do hear that from other companies, that because we have low unemployment, finding workers to, to fill jobs is more challenging. But to say that we know everything about what's going on to Foxconn's decisions, a global company like that, whose plans are changing, we just don't.
We're getting up to speed on state capital developments with WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. How do you feel about purging voter rolls? Are you a voter who's recently moved? What do you think about the voter registration process? Join in 800-642-1234. State Cap continues with Sean Johnson in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're taking stock of the year in politics, what discussions are poised for 2020. WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson recently had a wide-ranging conversation with Governor Evers. His colleague, Laurel White, sat down in the same vein with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Republicans rolled out a number of mental health-related bills this fall. What do you think is a solution to gun violence? How do you think about recent policy efforts to steer more funding toward mental health programs? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. And Sean Johnson stays with us. So, Sean, your colleague Laurel talked with Assembly Speaker Voss about mental health funding as a means to curb gun violence. And Voss said throwing more money at the problem is not the solution. Where does he stand with mental health policy and where money should be directed?
Yeah, this caught our attention because while there's not a, you know, a mental health bill out there that is, you know, net specific to address school violence, is not something that's, you know, had a public hearing or something like that. There has been talk by Democrats and Republicans about that being a possible response to some of the incidents of school violence in Wisconsin this year. You know, we've seen where the parties are at when it comes to other bills, like a bill that would require, you know, criminal background checks for firearm purchases or a red flag law. Republicans have, you know, made it pretty clear they're not going to support that. Democrats have said that, you know, like, look, we support these. The public supports these.
That was where the gavel in, gavel out occurred.
That's right. The special session that Governor Evers called. So, you know, they're far apart on that. It seemed like they might be closer together on doing something with mental health. And so this from Speaker Voss would seem to suggest that's not going to happen by the end of session. His full quote was, "We have already done a lot on mental health. I think there's a lot of things that play into what's happening. It isn't as simple as snapping our fingers and putting more money into a problem." So there's only, you know, maybe a couple months left of the legislative session before they go back to their districts to campaign. And this doesn't seem like it's got a great chance of passing when you see comments like that.
Speaker Voss said Republicans will, though, roll out at least one gun-related proposal next year. Do we have any insight as to what that would be?
He just said that the bill will make changes to penalties on individuals who commit a crime with a weapon to make sure they are, quote, appropriately punished. You know, we just don't know what that is. He mentioned it in an interview, and that's basically all we have right now.
Talking with Sean Johnson, WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief, and we're going to be talking about voter rolls here in a moment. How do you feel about the voter roll debate? Are you a voter who's recently moved? What do you think about voter registration processes? Join in 800-642-1234. So, Sean, a Wisconsin judge recently ruled that the 234,000 voters should be removed from voter rolls because they've moved. And this due to a lawsuit filed by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. What is the status of the suit?
The status is that it is being appealed. So you had this initial ruling in Ozaukee County Circuit Court Friday before last. And it is now being appealed to a state court of appeals. And the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the conservative think tank that brought the initial lawsuit, is asking the state Supreme Court to take it up immediately, to basically bypass the appeals court. And, you know, it's going to end up there anyway. And that's a great venue for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, because conservatives have a 5-2 majority on the state Supreme Court and have seen eye to eye with, you know, the Institute on a number of issues. So that's kind of where things stand. The state hasn't taken any action yet in response to the judge's order. The case is being appealed in state court. There has also been a kind of a counter lawsuit filed in federal court by the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. They want to get involved in this case. They want to block that state court ruling. They were not allowed to get involved at the state level. And so they're asking a federal court to get involved and take over this case.
Sounds like Attorney General Josh Call also filed an appeal in state court.
Yeah, so that's the appeal that's in the state court of appeals.
Okay.
Call is representing the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You know, he's the lawyer for the state in this case. And you know, there have been situations where an attorney general and the Elections Commission are kind of don't see eye to eye, and the Elections Commission has to get its own attorney. That's not the case here. Call and the Elections Commission are on the same page, and so he's fighting their fight in state court. If it does go up to the state Supreme Court, and you know, you presume it will, that would you'd have a situation where Call and his DOJ would be defending the Elections Commission, and their position is that these names should not be immediately removed from the rolls. This is the position they took earlier this year. What they want to do, these are names that were flagged by a multi-state government database that uses government records as having potentially moved. So the state sent out letters to 230,000 plus of these people. Under the judge's ruling in circuit court, if those people didn't respond and say, like, hang on, I still live here, or if they didn't re-register, basically if they didn't take some kind of action, they would be immediately removed from the rolls. What the Elections Commission had planned on doing was giving them until 2021 before they were immediately removed, because the Elections Commission has had some issues with this system when it used it a couple years ago, where there was an election, people's names were taken off, they came in to vote and said, hey, no, I'm actually still at that address, you made a mistake. So they're trying to avoid that.
How have lawmakers responded to this voter roll situation?
What we've heard from Republican leaders is that this is, I think they think it's kind of much ado about nothing. At least Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, his point is that because you can register same day in Wisconsin, it's not like people wouldn't have a chance to vote. The Democratic counter to that is you're introducing confusion into the process here. Governor Tony Evers said, I don't want to kick anybody off the rolls, but, I'm specifically concerned about these people, because if you look at the people who are likely to be included on this list, they are from cities that tend to vote Democratic. And so it could disproportionately hurt Democrats in an election where, in Wisconsin, they are all close, and there's no indication that this election will be any different. And there's a lot riding on it, obviously, with the presidential election in Wisconsin being such a swing state.
Well, let's touch on here homelessness funding for a moment. Governor Evers called on the Joint Finance Committee to meet last week regarding this funding, but the meeting never happened. What is going on here with this funding source for homelessness?
What's ultimately going on is that you have some resistance among Republican state senators to this homelessness funding, which amounts to about $3.7 million per year in homelessness, grants for homeless shelters, things like that. We don't know exactly what the Republican senators' concerns are and who exactly they are, but we know that this is something that has support in the state assembly. It's something that was put into the budget, but it has basically stalled there. So the funding that was in the budget needs the Finance Committee's final okay to be released. And, the committee has a big Republican majority there, and the Republican contingent did not meet in this special session, basically, of the Finance Committee that Governor Evers called last week. He took a rare step of ordering the committee to meet. Democrats showed up. All the staff that works at the Finance Committee showed up. Republicans did not show up. So it was, it's just kind of another example of a governor can only do so much when you have divided government. Republicans are saying, that's not going to help matters. You need to talk to Republican senators to get this done. The governor's saying, hey, I'm trying everything I can here.
What would this funding particularly do? Are there things that are hamstrung because this funding isn't happening?
It is funding the idea came from a council on homelessness that was formed under former Republican Governor Scott Walker and Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. And it was an issue that they wanted to address. Mm-hmm. And this is, it's basically grants for, it would go directly to communities for, shelters, things like that. So kind of direct payments to that. It's not exactly like it wouldn't get caught up in a state government agency so much as it would be directly paid out.
Before we wrap up here, are there rumblings at all of a potential property tax cut?
This is something that Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald brought up in his year-end press conference last week. Yeah, so he said he's hearing back in his district, people are concerned with property tax increases. This is something that was allowed in the most recent budget that was, you know, that passed the legislature, was signed by the governor. It gave local governments, schools in particular, more leeway to increase local property taxes to, you know, pay for services, pay for schools. And they've taken that. And so you're seeing a larger increase than you have since 2009. Fitzgerald's saying that we want to address that, and they've got a couple months left to do it. We'll see what that means. It could mean spending state money to drive down local property taxes, but, you know, that's yet to be determined.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sean Johnson is WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. He co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Democratic State Representative Kalen Haywood of Milwaukee, who's wrapping up his first year in office. You can join in 800-642-1234. Back for more State Cap after this news update on the Ideas Network.